Grace and peace to you from God the Father and from our Lord, our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen again to that Old Testament lesson for today. I'm going to read it now from the NIV translation, Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying, and they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried. "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am. Send me." God's words in Christ Jesus for the redeemed. Have you ever seen one of those pictures? Maybe it's a painting, or it could be some building, some kind of architecture, even an automobile, that somebody has taken so much time in building, making, painting, or whatever, so that there are so many little fine details that you just have to take at least a second, maybe even a third look to realize and gather in all that is in front of your eyes. You ever seen one of those pictures? The detail is sometimes incredible, and it takes a while for you to absorb everything that you see, everything that's going on in front of your eyes. It's stunning when you stop and consider the craftsmanship, the dedication, the skill and ability of the one who did that particular work, so that you would just simply have to stand in awe and marvel at what you're viewing. That certainly could be said also about what Isaiah records for us in chapter 6 of his Old Testament book. We aren't going to be able to spend enough time to look at every single one of the details. And there are so many of them. It boggles the mind. But we are going to consider a few of them today so that we can see just exactly how the king calls for volunteers for the greatest privilege on earth. He calls from among sinners who are terrified before God to change them into ones who become his willing servants to proclaim his saving gospel. You remember last Sunday's sermon? Those of you who were here, I don't really remember what we did last Sunday. Guy by the name of Jeremiah, his calling into the public ministry, being a prophet of God. Remember what his excuse was? Why he didn't want to become a prophet for the Lord? He said, "Lord, I'm too young. I'm too inexperienced. I can't do that kind of work." You remember what the Lord's answer was? "Don't you dare say that, because I'm the one who is going to be with you. I'm the one who is going to give you the words to speak. I'm the one who is going to rescue you when you become, someone that's in trouble. And I'm the one who is also sending you. So rely on me to do this work, was the Lord's message to Jeremiah, who actually served as prophet about 110 years after Isaiah. So Isaiah comes about a century before Jeremiah, and he had an excuse too of why he could not be a prophet. And understandably so, considering what Isaiah saw in front of him when the Lord appeared to him. He says, "I saw the Lord seated on a throne high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with 6 wings. With 2 wings they covered their faces, with 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they were flying, and they were calling to one another, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory.'" And Jeremiah's excuse? "Woe to me," I cried. "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and I have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Considering both Jeremiah and Isaiah, Jeremiah had kind of an excuse. Isaiah certainly had a profound reason not to serve as a prophet. He realized, "I am a sinner." He in fact says, "I am ruined. I'm doomed," as the EHV, the Evangelical Heritage Version, puts it. He was terrified because of his sins before the holy and righteous God. And notice how he identifies the Lord. He says, "I saw the Lord seated on the throne." And usually when I make a point of drawing your attention to that particular specific name for God, Lord, it's usually spelled with all capital letters. You remember what that name of God should remind you of? That he is the Savior God, the God of the covenant promise to send the Messiah. This isn't that name. This is the other name, Lord, with only capital L, which reminds us of the fact that this is the Almighty One. This is the sovereign ruler of heaven and earth, the one with power and majesty and authority. It's no wonder Isaiah was terrified as a sinful man standing in the presence of the holy and righteous God. Is that how you think of God when you come before him with your worship or your prayers? Probably not. I think for the most part, most of us probably think of God as one who is our Father. He's our friend, right? And we don't come before him in fear or terror, do we? We kind of just simply assume that, well, he's always there and we can come to him, and rightly so, because he calls on us to come to him in any trouble, to pray to him in all needs, and promises, "I will deliver you and you will honor me." But to say, "Lord, I am doomed, I am a sinner, I am unclean," like Isaiah does this morning, I kind of doubt it. We if we're honest with ourselves, maybe the other thing that we do is we say, "Well, you know, I'm not really that bad, Lord. But I know I'm a sinner. I know I've done things that are wrong, but for the most part, I'm a decent person. Not a murderer. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not a thief. I don't use bad language." Well, some people call me a miser or a skinflint. Maybe I do, you know, cut corners here and there, but
that shouldn't condemn me. I don't have a prideful heart. I'm one who is a decent kind of person. I'm not too bad. But would you claim that you're better than Isaiah? Who was a specifically called and appointed prophet of the one true God? He spoke the very word of God to the people of God. He's the one who had some of the most profound prophecies of the coming Savior. Would we figure ourselves to be better than Isaiah? Who said to the Lord, I am ruined, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips. Kind of boastful on our part if we do. After all, Isaiah was a spokesman for the one true God. Of anyone, he would certainly be one that we would expect, you know, God should have some kind of favor and preference for because of his occupation and his life. But he says, I am ruined. Woe is me. He realizes first and foremost that he is a sinful human being and deserves nothing from God. What about us? We did that confession of our sins this morning, but did we really think about what we're saying? And did it really come across with the same kind of shame and guilt and embarrassment, utter contempt and disgust for ourselves, our sins, and our unworthiness before God, as Isaiah did? Because we come before that same high and exalted, holy and righteous God as Isaiah did. When we come into church, what's our first thing that we think of? And understand, I'm not criticizing or condemning you for chit-chatting with everybody as you first come into church. But when you're seated and you start listening to the music that is playing, are your thoughts running here, there, and everywhere, or are you finally drawing everything together and realizing now in whose presence you are seated? Do you have the same kind of reverence and awe before God, that utter honor? Even the angels, these mighty seraphim, were embarrassed to even reveal their faces. They covered them with two of their wings. They covered their feet also, and were flying above the Lord, seated on his throne, ready to do his bidding. When they spoke this amazing benediction about the Lord, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty, the whole earth is full of his glory, we're told that at the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. An overwhelming overload on Isaiah's senses from what he saw and heard and felt and smelled and probably even tasted when he realized in whose presence he was. Does that same awe and honor fill our hearts as we come to worship the Lord, our Savior God? The same kind of sense of unworthiness, shame, guilt, and personal accountability before God? Especially then when we confess our sins to Him? Maybe it's time for us then to stop merely mouthing those mindless, memorized lines of ours as we confess our sins and truly cry from a troubled heart with Isaiah
as we recognize our sins.
And then immediately,
God goes into action.
As soon as Isaiah says this, "Woe to me," one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for."
There was not a thing. There was not a word that Isaiah could do or utter that would change his situation before God. Only the grace of God did that through that powerful angel that God sent to reassure Isaiah. God was going into action to express his grace and forgiveness in a powerful, positive way to Isaiah to reassure him that Isaiah did nothing. God did everything to forgive his sins and motivate his servant. You see, God's the one who has to do that. And he did that through Jesus, didn't he? The very one Isaiah spoke of and prophesied about. We can do nothing before God to earn or to acquire or to deserve his grace and forgiveness. God's the one who reaches across that gulf that separates the holy God from us sinful human beings and says, "Here, I give you my Son to be the Savior, to rescue and relieve you of that burden of guilt and sins and punishment with my atonement and grace." It's no wonder then, when the Lord said, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" Isaiah immediately responded, "Here am I. Send me." That all-encompassing hot coal of the gospel that the angel used to touch the lips and life of Isaiah served to motivate and to encourage, to support, and to keep him faithful for 45 years of ministry before the Lord, in some of the toughest times of Judah's history, set his heart on fire with the love and gratitude of one who had been cleansed and forgiven of his sins so that he was eager to volunteer. And this is the same man who just seconds before had said, "Woe is me, I am ruined, I am doomed." Now suddenly he's ready, anxious, and eager to serve the Lord in whatever way he can, filled with courage, willingness to serve, even though he knows nothing about what God is going to call him to do. God's gracious forgiveness worked that miracle change of heart in Isaiah, just as he has for you and me, changing us to courage, which replaces fear, willingness that replaces unworthiness. And that's the thing that you and I need to realize too. It's all God's work. Having had the privilege of seeing this most vivid and amazing insight into God's throne, hearing that amazing sermon of law and gospel from the Lord himself, God's heavenly throne room, Isaiah responded to the Lord God with eager, anxious, and ready heart to preach and proclaim and to share that same law and gospel with others. I pray that's going to be true in your heart and life as well, as you're reminded of in whose presence you are and who has done that work in you. The Lord, your Savior God, Jesus, his own dear Son,
who went all the way to the cross to wipe out all of your sins and assures you of eternal life with Him in heaven. So may it be in your heart and life, so will it be until He comes again. Amen. Now may that peace of God which surpasses all our understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, your Lord and Savior. Amen. We join then to respond to the hearing of God's Word from the Create in Me, page 21 in the supplement.